I gotta drive 6 hours to Avon.
Okay, I'd like to call this meeting of the Summit Hill School District 161 Board of Education to order. Will you please rise and join us in our Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, can we have a roll call, please, Mr. Faber?
Mr. Ward.
Here.
Mrs. Werner.
Here.
Mrs. Kolbacher.
Here.
Mrs. Borgens.
Here.
Mr. Faber. Here. Mr. Marin.
Here.
Mr. Doyle.
Here. Okay, all board members are present and accounted for. We want to welcome you to this evening's meeting. Letters and communications are, of course, in the back of the board book. And FOIA requests, we've had none since our last board
meeting. That's
correct. Okay. Is there anybody signed up for public comments tonight? No? Okay. We'll move right to our action items and the consent agenda motion, which is over on page 11. Can we have the recommended motion that we move to approve the items on the consent agenda for this meeting as presented, including 4A1A, Superintendent Evaluation Tool Committee meeting minutes of August 20th, 2014, 4A1B, Policy Committee meeting minutes of August 27th, 2014, 4AC, Regular Session meeting minutes of August 27th, 2014, 4A1D, Closed Session Meeting Minutes of August 27th, 2014. 4A2, Approval of Bills List of September 10th, 2014. 4A3, Approval of July Financial Report Treasurer's Report. 4A4, Approval of Resignation of Staff, Elena Hoy, effective September 16th, 2014. 4A5, Approval of Family Medical Leave. There are none at this time. 4A6, Approval of Employment of Staff, Lily Shin, 0.5 Social Worker at Arbery Hills School. Katie Goar, paraprofessional at Arbery Hills School, Amanda Talty, pre-K paraprofessional at Dr. Julian Rogas School, and Christy Gardner, TIP paraprofessional at Dr. Julian Rogas School. Can I have the recommended motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
The motions have been made and seconded. Any questions or discussion? Hearing none, can I have a roll call vote, please, Mr. Faber?
Mr. Ward.
Aye.
Mrs. Kolbacher.
Aye.
Mr. Faber. Aye. Mrs. Borgens.
Aye.
Mrs. Werner.
Aye.
Mr. Marin.
Aye.
Mr. Doyle.
Aye. Okay, the motion carries. And we want to congratulate, I believe, Katie and Amanda are in the audience this evening, so I want to congratulate the both of you and welcome you officially to the district.
Welcome aboard.
You are welcome to stay, but if you do want to leave at this time, our feelings will not be hurt, of course, if you do wish to depart, so we'll give you a chance to. Thank you very much. They always leave. Maybe I should stop with that invitation. But anyway, all right, moving on to old business. And we are on to goal number 4, approval of the superintendent evaluation tool. This is over on page 199 in your board packet. Sorry, 99. Can I have the recommended motion of the Board of Education approve the superintendent evaluation tool as presented?
So, second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any questions or discussion? I do just want to thank our committee members, and that was Stacy Borgens, Dave Faber, and Rich Ward, for really committing a great deal of time and effort to it. That's a long, painstaking process sometimes to put together an evaluation tool, and they have really put together a very comprehensive, very thoughtful one as well. So on behalf of the board, we want to thank all three of you for your efforts with that. Sure.
I'd like to thank them as well. The meetings were the discussion was awesome. Really, very clearly now, I can tell exactly what is expected, and I thank you for that.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Okay, we have a recommended motion with a second. All those in favor of the motion acknowledge by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Our next item is the first reading of board policies. This is on page 113 in our board book. Can I have the recommended motion we move the Board of Education approve the first reading of board policy 2:20, 4:60, 5:30, 5:260, 5:530, 7:20, 7:180, and 7:240 as presented. Can I have the recommended motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion acknowledge by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Page 132 in our board book is where the next item is, and that is the District Office Administration's Evaluation Tool. Can I have the recommended motion the Board of Education approve the District Office Administration Evaluation Tool as presented?
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any questions or discussion? Or Barb, if you want to give any?
It's more of the performance evaluation tool closely mimics the other evaluation tools of the certified staff and also mine. So it just brought it a little closer into queue. There is a peer leadership survey as part of it, which is 10% similar. And then there's an organizational performance goal that's weighted at 60% and a professional growth goal that's weighted at 30%. So again, there's a lot of similarities now between all of the different evaluations for the different groups of staff members.
Any questions or discussion from board members?
I was wondering if it was feasible to put it on a 5-point scale similarly or same as yours. I'm under the impression that's on a 4-point scale. I'm just wondering if we're going to have some of the same issues that we've discussed. It's about difficulties in a 4-point scale kind of presents at times.
I catch that.
I'm open to conversation, sure.
So was the purpose, though, to bring this in alignment with the other evaluation tools?
In terms of the pieces of the tools, having the peer survey, and then the two goals. The others have different sets of goals.
We're mandated for 4 categories, though, right?
I'm sorry?
For the other ones, for like the teachers and so on, we're mandated to 4?
We are. When it all boils down, we're back into those 4 categories with the teachers, and that's what the administrators would be as well. Because when all is said and done, the ratings are excellent, proficient, needs improvement, and unsatisfactory. It's just that survey piece of the certified staff members that goes to that 5-point scale, and then everything else goes to the 4-point scale. But I'd be open to, your support of tweaking this to 5.
Well, is that going to cause you any issues with rating the administrators as far as, does it need to align with the teacher evaluations?
Well, that's what I was trying to do with it, was to align it to the teachers.
Okay.
And these are basically the headers for the teachers as well on their certified evaluation form.
Okay.
Do you want to try this year with this and see if it...
That's fine with me. I'm just wondering if it's not going to cause us an issue having two different... I guess you're going to have different evaluation tools for teachers and administrators anyways.
We do. The administrators are a separate entity with their tool. And then, of course, also support staff is a separate entity on its tool. And it does not mimic this process. It's a different process for them as well.
Other questions or comments with that? David, are you comfortable with trying this one out for this year and then maybe?
If this is what, Barb and the administrators and staff are used to, mm-hmm. I'm fine with that. I just know for us, for our purposes, we were more comfortable rating Barb on a 5-point scale. But if she feels this one can work, then I'm fine with that. I'm not going to mandate,
And the difference, too, is it's one-on-one with the administrator and myself, but with the board, it's 7 opinions.
Right.
Filtering into one resultant. And maybe that's why this seems like this would be a little more appropriate because it's a one-on-one.
Okay. I'm fine with that.
Okay. Hearing no other questions or comments on that, we have a motion with a second. So all those in favor of the motion acknowledge by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. The motion does carry.
Thank you.
Next item is designation of the superintendent to complete the ISB and ROE service evaluation survey. This is over on page 145 in our board book. And I received the letter they sent out to the board presidents, and it's from Lieutenant Governor Simon. And they just say that, you know, their suggestion is to authorize the superintendent to fill out that service evaluation survey. So can I have the recommended motion of the Board of Education designate the superintendent to complete the ISB and ROE service evaluation survey?
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion acknowledge by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries. The next item is authority to handle religious exemptions in accordance with the school code. This is on page 148. And this is to give the authorization to the superintendent, right, to deal with those issues that sometimes do come up in terms of religious exemptions with it. Before I read the recommended motion, I would just ask the board, do they feel they need a closed session discussion on this or not? Are you comfortable with moving forward? We have it in the closed session language for student matters, so it would be covered under that exemption if we needed it.
I'm good to go now.
We're good?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, good. All right. Can I have the recommended motion that we move the Board of Education grant authority to the superintendent to handle religious exemptions in accordance with Illinois School Code?
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any questions or discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of the motion acknowledge by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, that motion carries. The next item is the approval of the Summit Hill Junior High Grade 8 Washington, D.C. trip. Can I have the recommended motion the board approve the Washington, D.C. trip for grade 8 students who elect to attend? The trip is scheduled for February 27th, 2015 through March 1st, 2015. Can I have the recommended motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
The motion has been made and seconded. Any questions or discussion?
Mr. Marin's going to chaperone.
Let's hope for good weather, too, always with that. It's
no,
always iffy
the kids
at that
to have
time.
Fun.
Or is that? No, Ms. Dalish.
I would have to ask. Pam, is there a price on the trip?
If you get the insurance, it's around $1,200. The insurance is a little over $100. Mm-hmm. And then also there's extra fees if you don't have four in a room. If you choose to have just two people in a room, there's an extra fee, of course. But it's right around that range. And they break it down into payments. So the first payment is $100 down payment, plus I think it's $190 for the insurance. And then they make payments of $300
per year. All right. Let's still not be going.
It is a good trip. I mean, it's, you know, and the service provider, I'm trying to remember the name of the
Bright Spark.
That's what it is. I always remember those bright orange backpacks that they have.
Yeah,
and so.
They take really good care of us. Very good company.
Yep. Very good. Okay. We have a motion with a second. All those in favor of the motion acknowledge by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hey, the motion carries. President's comments, just one more thank you again to our Superintendent Evaluation Tool Committee. Quick reminder of the Chef's Family Fun Run and Walk this Saturday, September 13th from 8 to 10:30 a.m. at Hilda Walker. And just acknowledgement, tomorrow, of course, is the 13th anniversary of the September 11th attacks, and I would just ask that everybody in the Summit Hill community keep the victims and their family members and friends that were, you know, that lost loved ones during that day in their thoughts and prayers during this time of remembrance with that. So I'll turn the floor over to Superintendent Raines for the Superintendent Staff Report.
Well, thank you. We'll start with the enrollment report. We continue to remain within board guidelines at every grade level and every school. We have 278 kindergartners. We have, believe it or not, two students who have not completed the re-registration process, but 2,763 who have. So we're moving along there. In terms of the rest of the report, this is where the directors will come in. The first will be Dean with a preliminary 2014-15 budget presentation. And the good news is we're spending less than we receive. Always happy to hear that, I know.
Although that becomes harder and harder.
It does, but we've managed.
But that's great.
Good evening. You have in your packet a two-page summary of our proposed budget for fiscal year 14-15. It does, you know, it has more detail than the last time you saw this budget, including a breakdown by fund of where we're spending our money and how we're coming out for the year. You'll notice on the right-hand column that our ending balances are still healthy. And if you glance down toward the middle of the page in the gray box, you'll see that the total of the operating funds leaves us with a small surplus and a very healthy fund balance to fund our operations. And the bottom line is pretty much the same. There's not a lot of wiggle room in this budget. There's a small surplus, but not much more than that. But this budget does fund all the initiatives that you've approved, the technology initiatives, and anything else during this past year that you approved in terms of programming. They're all in this budget. So with that, I'm not going to go into details unless you have questions about any particular line item or the overall budget.
Any questions or comments from board members?
If there is a risk in this budget, it is action by Springfield. You're probably aware that there's a lame duck session that will come up after the governor's election. You should know that from my IASBO sources, Menard's Senate Bill 16 is still alive. He intends to push that forward. It has come out of committee but was never voted on. So it is possible that during the lame duck session, he will make an attempt to have that bill passed by the legislature. The impact would be significant. I think you've had a review of that bill. It's a major reallocation of funds in the state in terms of funding school district budgets. There's really probably little that we can do at this point to intervene. I think the lines have been drawn. There's going to be a lot of opposition to that bill because of the number of school districts that are going to lose funds. On the other hand, there's going to be support for that bill in those districts that gain funds by the reallocation. The latest version of the bill gives a four-year implementation. So I, off the top of my head, I think this district stands to lose between $3 and $4 million annually. That would be implemented over a four-year period. So it would mean, if it were to pass and become law, it would mean that we would have to look at a series of belt tightening over a four-year period in order to maintain what is now a balanced budget. Whether it will pass or not, all I can tell you is through my IASBO sources, they believe Menard is really serious about pushing this bill to a vote. That might not come in the lame duck session, depending on who gets elected as governor and how the parties react to that election. It could be next spring before a vote would be taken, and it's really not clear right now whether it will pass.
Has it cleared the Senate?
I don't know that for sure.
I think it's cleared the Senate.
I think it has.
And so, the $3 to $4 million, is that higher than we heard? For some reason, I had $2 million.
That was initially.
I would have to go back to my notes. I didn't bring my notes about Senate
Bill.
That's
fine. I
thought it was 2.5.
Districts that have taken a close look at it say that it came, the impact on their district came, those that were losers according to the bill actually came in higher than the state's estimates when they actually go through the bill and link it back to their revenue streams. Mm-hmm. It actually nets out higher than what the state was predicting. So if you have $2.5 million in mind, it may be closer to three.
So can we get a hold? We have actually two representatives because our district is split. Can we talk to them about adding an amendment if it comes to the floor? We need to look at being proactive, and something as simple as no district can be funded more than 50% over the base
existing
level
funding
until every district in the state has received 25% or something like that.
I understand.
And that would protect where we're at.
Yes.
And it's an easily defensible amendment that we could push. I mean, kind of got to think about where we're going to go with something like that.
Sure.
See if we can push that.
Yeah, I would imagine the opposition would be lined up with some poison pill amendments.
The opposition is going to be really significant in a lot of districts that stand to lose.
Something as simple as that sort of
to modify
screams some fairness.
Yeah.
Would create that poison pill that we're talking about. But
I think that's the key to keep in mind, that half are going to win and half are going to lose. And so this is not a slam dunk at all to make this major change in how we fund schools.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many pieces that still aren't even uncovered. You know, in the bill, as you look, you think you're a winner and you're not, based on the formula. So I have a feeling that, if anything pops, it's going to be squashed pretty quick at this point in time.
Contacting our representatives is a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions about this proposed budget?
Dean, just with your IASBO context, do you meet them in dark, smoky alleyways, and are they wearing trench coats and fedoras when you meet them?
Parking garage.
And do they go by real names, or is it just...
Yes, they do,
yeah.
But I cannot reveal anything.
I didn't think you got this.
I'm sorry.
You'd probably have to kill me if he did, right? The other thing, and I know it's probably way out, but because it's got to go through the legal process, but also if the pension reform does get overturned and the court system is unconstitutional, I can imagine the legislature is going to have to revisit and maybe even resurrect their plan of trying to pass that cost on to school districts that they've talked about before.
Unless there's some extraordinary effort to speed that up, the best bet is that it's going to take a year for that to work its way through the courts. There may be some judge may decide to circumvent that, but that's been the track record in other states. It's taken a year to 18 months for it to get resolved, and it normally goes to the Supreme Court because of the number of parties involved. But I believe then after that, the legislature will have to regroup in terms of pension funding, and who knows what direction it will go after that.
Good. Any other questions for Dean? Dean, thank you for that report. We appreciate that. And we will have our budget hearing scheduled for September 24th at our regular board meeting.
Next, we'll have an update on the STAR assessment. Kathy, would you like first, the parent report? Is that what you'd like first, parent report? Sure. I'll just get it ready for you.
STAR assessment first. Students are presently taking the STAR assessment three times during this year. We're taking it right now in September, January, and then in April. STAR assessments are computer adaptive tests. Computer adaptive tests continually adjust the difficulty of each child's test by choosing each test question based on their previous response. If a child answers the question correctly, the difficulty goes up. If they answer it incorrectly, the difficulty goes down. The computer adaptive test saves testing time and spares the students from frustration that are too difficult and the boredom of items that are just too easy for them. The STAR assessments are often used to screen students for their reading and math achievement levels. The STAR Enterprise assessments can also be used to monitor student growth throughout the year to estimate students' understanding of the state standards and... In addition, the STAR can help teachers determine appropriate instructional levels and skills that students are ready to learn. Teachers will communicate the results of the STAR assessments with parents by running and sharing a parent report. And then I'm also going to show you another report that teachers can also. But the first one, this parent report, and this is, I'm going to tell you, I And with NWA, we had to wait until our whole window was done, the whole 3 weeks of testing. This student took the test today, and I was able to download this report already. And, of course, the name's out, the school's out, so you don't know. But this report gives parents a snapshot of their child's skill level. And in the report, you have percentile rank, which compares a child's test performance with that of other students nationally in the same grade. The instructional reading level is the grade level at which the child is at least 80% proficient at recognizing words and comprehending reading material. The zone of proximal development is the reading level range from which a child should be selecting books for optimal growth in reading. So in this child's report, it's 2.4 second grade fourth month to third grade fourth month, which transfers also into a Lexile of 410 to 570. So that would be the range that you would want that child to read. Then at the end, it also says, you know, that the teacher is going to be using the STAR reading test to help further develop this child's reading skills. And then it also gives a couple of suggestions of what the parent can do at home. And then there's a place for the teacher to sign, the parent to sign. Barb, can you change to the next one, this instructional planning report? Now, and this is, again, from the same student, and this is, you'll see, you know, his or hers, I'm trying, I can't see that far. But anyway, it is exact. See that zone of proximal development, 2.4 to 3.4. It's the same thing. The graph shows the child's current scaled score. And after taking the second test in January, it will also show the projected scale score for the end of the year. This report also provides a list of skills to help the teacher plan for instruction, as you see. Do you see down there? And I mean, it goes on and on. I think there's a second and a third page. And those are the skills that the child is deficit in. This report can also be shared with parents, too. But it's immediate. You get the data immediately, so it helps plan for instruction. Quite so. Any questions?
I have one. Sure. Are we limiting students when they go to their school library? Are we limiting them to what they can check out based on their Lexile scores, or are they able to go in and check out anything?
They're able to go and check any book out. However, if a book is really, really, you know,
sure,
super simple, you know, they're going to strongly encourage them to go in their area.
And actually, I was thinking more of the opposite direction, where they might take something out that's a little too difficult, but the subject matter is of high interest. So it works both ways, but I just was hoping that they would never be told, unless it's, you know, a first grader checking out eighth grade level.
Sometimes.
Something like that.
And I'm just going to give you an example. A teacher may, you know, a child may choose a book, and the teacher knows the book is going to be very, very difficult. The teacher may pull the child aside and say, okay, let's read the first paragraph. And if the child is missing, you know, five words or more in that first mm-hmm. paragraph, mm-hmm. they may say, you know, you may want to pick another book out mm-hmm. that's a little bit easier to read, and then you could take this and your parents can help you read mm-hmm. this book out.
Okay. Yeah.
Anything else? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Kathy.
Yep.
And finally, Bridget, with our special ed update, we have two new programs that Bridget's going to tell us a little bit about.
Hello. Just want to give you a quick update on two of our new classroom programs this year. Actually, the first one is an expansion to complete our continuum of service with our individualized instruction classes. We did have the classes at early childhood and kindergarten through third grade last year. This year, we expanded the continuum to include early childhood through eighth grade. Just to kind of give you a snapshot, our individualized instruction classes provide a very high level of support and structure that are needed to serve students who are significantly impacted by autism, developmental disabilities, and intellectual disabilities, among others. These are students whose progress is being measured primarily by their individualized education plan, their IEP, and by alternative assessments. This year, the classes are housed at Rogus, which is early childhood and kindergarten, Arbory Hills, Hilda Walker, and Summit Hill Junior High. The other class that is completely new to us this year is our communication development class. This class currently serves students in first through sixth grade, although I do anticipate the class growing up to seventh and eighth as the students in the program move up. This is a class that was brought back to the district this year, and we just didn't feel that it was fair to our current junior high students to make them change schools for the last year or two of their education. So we chose to start with first through sixth. These classes are co-taught by a special ed teacher and a speech pathologist. They're designed to serve students who have significant language and learning disabilities that impact their ability to fully participate in a general ed classroom. The students receive a combination of intensive instruction in a special education classroom and support either from the special ed teacher, the speech pathologist, or a paraprofessional in the general education setting for approximately 50% or more of the day based on their needs. For the students in the communication development class, their progress is measured by their IEP goals, particularly with regards to speech and language, and also by the STAR assessments that Mrs. Klein just spoke about. The communication development classes are housed at Indian Trail and Hilda Walker, and proud to say from conversations with staff, our staff have done a wonderful job and put forth a ton of effort in getting the programs up and running. We've gotten off to a smooth start. The staff has been very positive, as have a number of the parents that I've had a chance to speak to.
I have a question for you.
Sure.
The class that's housed at Trail?
Yes.
First through fourth graders?
Mm-hmm.
Do we have all four grade levels in that classroom, and how many students are in that class?
We have currently three grade levels.
Okay.
And there are five students. It mirrors the makeup of our specialized instruction class that is also housed at Trail.
Thank you.
Bridget, with the communication development classes that currently serve through one through six, and we didn't want to disrupt mm-hmm. those junior high students, gradually we would bring, or is next year the plan to bring that through seventh and eighth, or gradually work it up through eighth grade in terms of the...
I don't have the exact grade levels of the students
okay.
with me. I do believe we're primarily fifth graders this year.
Okay.
So we would be taking a look at that. And I did have one student who came in the process of transitioning out of the program.
Okay.
So I'm just not sure exactly of which student is at which grade level to give you a definitive answer, but it would be within the next 2 years.
Okay. And then are we, as I know we got the planning workshop that'll come up in early 2015, are we continuing to explore opportunities to conceivably bring more services in-house in the 2015-2016 school year?
We will be looking at that, yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, Bridget, for the report.
And that completes the report.
Very good. Okay. The next item is personnel items. We do have one to discuss in closed session, but there will be no action taken after that, so I'm going to go on to the next item, and this is one of our most eagerly anticipated items whenever we get to it. More pressure to Mr. Ward's report, but we'll hear from Mr. Ward on the Frankfort Township Planning Meeting Report.
And it's always fun to know off the bat, did you get in the building?
Right.
Yes, we did.
All right.
We got in the building, and it was rather short and fairly uneventful meeting. The highlight was that I asked that the meeting minutes that we were going to approve be amended to reflect that I was there and voting at the previous meeting.
Yeah, we noticed that. We were wondering what you were pulling with that. Claiming to show up to these things.
Actually, other than that, there were no other issues that were brought up. The various representatives talked about some of the things that are going on. There's an addition going on at the library here. You can see they've starting to get that fenced around. There's projects finishing in the park district and so on. So things are moving forward. New administration in the other school district, and that all seems to be going pretty well with Frankfurt School District 157C. We agreed to meet in another 3 months.
Any questions for Mr. Ward? Thank you, as always, for that report. This time on the agenda, we have board member comments. So we'll open up the floor for any comments from board members.
My only comment is that I was really happy to see the volunteer form that came home with students, or that was available. Some of us received them online, asking parents to complete them, just if they're going to be volunteering in their kids' classroom, hot lunch, whatever. I like that we're being proactive in doing this, and I have not heard any parent complain. I think it's being received very well. Mm-hmm. You know, parents see that we're looking out for what's best for their kids, so I'm glad that we're doing that. So that's the only comment I have.
Good. Thank you, Stacy.
I have a question about that, though. So if I have kids in two schools and I fill one out in one school, is it in a database that is reflected in the district?
It would be per school.
So I have to fill one out per each school?
Yes.
Did not know that.
I'm sorry?
I said I did not know that. I don't know if...
Right now, because it's the first year, we're trying to get our, you know, the systems worked out. So right now, we're trying to ask at all the buildings if you'd please fill it out. Okay. Eventually, it's going to be connected.
Let's just say I was shocked when somebody else in my house volunteered to fill one out for himself as well. I was kind of thrown that he threw his hat in the ring. So
very cool.
Be prepared. You'll be getting... Mr. Borgens as well. Feel free to flag him.
Any other comments from board members?
There's a couple quick things. Just want to thank Stacy again for an outstanding job on the evaluation committee. She steered us and put a lot of time in, and thank you very much. Also, I want to thank... Summit Hill staff. Turns out we're not going to be asking to use the field there for the Marching Phoenix, but they were very accommodating and very helpful, but we found some other arrangements. But, appreciate the help. So thank you, Pam.
Thank you, Rich. Any other comments? Okay. Public comments? None at this time? Okay. As I mentioned, we do have a personnel matter to talk about in closed session, but no action item will be taken after that. Our future meeting dates are September 24th at the Administration Center, 7 p.m., October 8th, 2014, Administration Center, 7 p.m., and October 22nd, 2014, at the Administration Center, 7 p.m. Can I have the recommended motion that we go into closed session according to 5 ILCS 120/2C1? That's C missing again? Yeah, I think so. No? That's all right. Put that in there. All right. 2C1, not a problem. To consider the appointment, employment, compensation, discipline, performance, or dismissal of the specific employees of the district or legal counsel for the district, including hearing testimony on a complaint lodged against an employee of the district or against legal counsel for the district, to determine its validity. Can I have the recommended motion, please?
So moved.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded. Any questions or discussion? We have a roll call vote, please. Mr. Faber.
Mr. Ward.
Aye.
Mrs. Kohlbacher.
Aye.
Mr. Faber. Aye. Mrs. Borgens.
Aye.
Mrs. Werner. Mr. Marin.
Aye.
Mr. Doyle.
Aye. Okay, the motion carries. We're going to closed session. As I mentioned, we have no action items to take thereafter, so thank you for attending this evening's meeting.
All right. 21 minutes.
Good night.
Good night. Thank you.
You have a sore throat? You have a sore throat? I'm pretty good shape.
There you go.
That's how I look at it. I can cough a little bit.
Yep.
You too.
Okay, we are back in open session. We have no action items to take after our closed session, so can I have a motion to adjourn the meeting, please?
So moved. Second.
Motion's been made.
I thought
and
you made
seconded
it.
By Tweedledee and Tweedledum. motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor acknowledge by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, the motion carries.